The Orthodox life. See, I've had too many language classes. And so I look at that, and I have to look first at the subject, life. That's the noun, the way I look at it. Life. And I look here, and look, we've got life. Right there. The Orthodox life is, first and foremost, life. You have to live it. You know, someone was talking about a top really doesn't do anything, and you can't really understand the way a top works until you spin it. A top has to spin to be a top. A song isn't really a song until it's sung. And the Orthodox life isn't really there unless you live it. And so life is there to be lived. It's dynamic. Life has to be lived. And if it's dynamic, it's always in motion, it's always changing, it's always adapting, it's vital. And because life is like that, we're constantly moving. We're constantly moving from, we're moving through, we're moving toward. And so life is a dynamic sort of a thing. And so I think if you look at it, ideally, it's growth. If it's positive, it's growth. Sometimes it's negative growth. But then we get to the failure and getting up again. And all of that is part of life. It's part of this vital dimension. And so we have these things going. And one thing about life also is life has been entrusted to us. God has entrusted us with life. And kind of like what you said about freedom or openness, God has given us life and then the free will. And we've been entrusted with life. And as I was writing this, I realized we're entrusted not only with our own lives, but we're entrusted with the lives of others. I was thinking about that as I was seeing, you know, these families out here kind of going to the farmer's market and the cute little kids running around. And we've been entrusted with the lives of others. I'm thinking about the people that we work with, the people that we interact with, and it's a great responsibility. And in many significant ways, God has left us in control. In some significant ways, we are not in control, but we are in control of how we respond to these situations. So there's a lot of responsibility there. And that's one word that didn't show up here. But there's responsibility. And Mother was showing me, Mother Melania was giving us a little tour of the koi pond and telling the stories about how the sisters had nurtured the koi back to health and took care of them. And I mean, that's a life of responsibility, getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning and caring for other living creatures. And that's part of the Orthodox Christian life. It's responsibility for the world around us, responsibility for the life that God has created. And it tells us that the Orthodox Christian life is communal. It's a life in community. It's a life in relationship with others. We do not, and this is like late night undergraduate talk. Can we live alone? And I'm thinking we can't really live alone. I know I couldn't live alone. Because I depend on other people to do so much for me. You know, I depend on electricity. I depend on plumbing. I depend on food. I depend on the microwave, you know, and we can't live by ourselves. And if you look at the stories of the Egyptian desert monastics, even though they went out by themselves, they still interacted with others. And so even if we go off by ourselves for a bit, we're still connected. We're still part of the community. We receive from others, and we give to others. And so the Orthodox Christian life, the Orthodox life is a life in community. It's a social life. And we live, we're Orthodox, and this is something, I think we realize it here. I think there are some parts of the world where we might not realize it, but we live in different communities. We live in diverse social human communities. We've got the community certainly of the larger creation, with the koi's and the parrots and the bunnies and the cats and the dogs and the, you know, and all the other animals and the beautiful trees and the flowers and the grass. We live in community with the rest of creation, the clouds, the sun. It's such a beautiful day, and you know what? I get to see it all out that door, and you all are stuck looking at me. And you know what? We're still supposed to be on the slide, too, which is crazy. And we've got the larger creation. We've got, and I love the way our prayers talk about the seen and the unseen, the physical and the spiritual. And so even, I was saying that I had come here before, and when I came here before, I went into the chapel, and I was the only one in the chapel, and yet I didn't feel alone. Because I you just go in there and you feel the presence of the saints. You feel the presence of the angels. And we know we're not alone, because we have all of these creations praising God together. The mundane and the spiritual. And we've got a divine community. Again, the Holy Spirit, that's too important to put on this board. Present in all places and filling all things. And so the Orthodox life is a life in communion. Oh, that's a word that we could have put up there. Communion. Not enough space. And life is multidimensional. We've got our family. We've got our extended family. I put family. And then I was thinking about, you know, your crazy aunt that you see like once every year, maybe at Thanksgiving. You got your bratty little nephews that you see, you know, as little as possible. And so you've got your family that you see every day. You've got your extended family. You've got your work. The people you interact with only at work. You've got your church people that you interact with. You've got your friends that you interact with. And so we're living multidimensional lives. And so I might be, and I do find myself, kind of putting forward one face in one place and another face in another place. And it's not by choice, but it's just, that's what the community's sort of calls for. You've got your intellectual dimension of life. You've got your emotional dimension of life, your physical, your psychological. We're living multidimensional lives. And going back to this motion, this life, this growth, you've got where you're coming from, you've got where you are now, and you've got where you're going. All of these affect life. And so, I mean, honestly, all we can say is it's complicated. Life is complicated. And I love that picture down at the bottom. Wishing life wasn't so complicated. But it is. It is what it is. So Orthodox is part of this. And I think it's really interesting because we were dealing with life. And we're dealing with Orthodox. And we got a little bit more overtly Orthodox here with the Seven Ecumenical Councils Creed. Fasting, theosis. We started dealing with the Orthodox dimensions here. And the Orthodox Christian life, the Orthodox life, I think, ideally, and this is something that, you know, I teach at Berkeley, and we're all postmodern deconstructionists there in Berkeley. And if you say something wrong, people jump on you. And so one of the words that we're not supposed to say is ideal. But, see, remember how we relate in different contexts? I'm in an Orthodox context. I'm going to use ideal. I'm going to say that ideally, the Orthodox life is sincere. Ideally, it is a sincere life. St. Gregory of Nyssa gives a definition of Christian. And he says, he tells a story. And he says, they say that a certain showman in the city of Alexandria, having trained a monkey to dance with some grace, and having dressed him in a dancer's mask and a costume suitable for the occasion, and having surrounded him with a chorus, gained fame by the monkey's twisting himself in time with the music, and concealing his nature in every way by what he was doing and what he appeared to be. While the audience was enthralled by the novelty of the spectacle, one of the clever persons present, by means of a trick, showed those watching the performance that the dancer was a monkey. When everyone was crying out and applauding and applauding the gesticulations of the monkey, who was moving rhythmically with the music, they say that he threw into the dancing place some of the sweetmeats which arouse the greediness of such animals. Whereupon the monkey, without a moment's delay, when he saw the almonds scattered in front of the chorus, forgetting the dancing and the applause and the elaborate costume, ran after the almonds and grabbed what he found in the palm of his hands. And in order that the mask would not get in the way of his mouth, he energetically thrust aside the disguise with his nails and immediately evoked a laugh from the spectators in place of the praise and admiration as he emerged ugly and ridiculous from the shreds of the mask. Therefore, just as the assumed form was not sufficient for the creature to be considered a man, once his nature was disclosed in the incident of the almonds, so those individuals not truly shaping their own natures by faith will easily be disclosed in the toils of the devil as being something other than what they are called. For, instead of a fig or an almond or some such thing, vanity and love of honor and love of gain and love of pleasure and whatever else the evil assembly of the devil places before the greedy people instead of sweetmeats easily bring to light the ape-like souls who, through pretense and imitation, play the role of the Christian, and then remove the mask of moderation or meekness or some other virtue in a moment of personal crisis. It is necessary, therefore, for us to understand what the name Christian means, for then perhaps we will become what the term implies and not be shown up by the one who perceives what is hidden, namely that we have disguised ourselves by mere assent and by the pretense of the name alone, when we are actually something contrary to what we appear to be. I love that story. St. Gregory is talking about, you know, the reality that some people in his time claimed to be Christian but didn't act like Christians. Or they claimed to be Christians and they acted like Christians until in time of crisis or in time of temptation, they ripped off the mask of being a Christian and let their... I love this. The ape-like soul. And let their ape-like soul show forth. And I think the same holds true for being orthodox. We must be orthodox. We must not simply act like orthodox. And when I say that, you know what? I realize that there's discipline and there's training. And sometimes we have to act in a certain way to train ourselves to be that. And so that's where the growth comes in. But I think, ideally, the goal is that we don't just go through the motions, that we actually are orthodox. And so when we talk about the orthodox life, we need to talk about life within the church. Orthodox life is life within the church. And so I've got a couple of icons here. And I love these icons because I just love icons depicting the Orthodox life. I mean, here's this mass of people, and they're all there, and you can't even see some of them. Those are the anonymous Orthodox, you know? And they're in the church. And you've got some people, and they're all in the church. It's almost like all of reality is inside the church and outside of the church. Well, I was going to say you've got barrenness. But you know what? You've got God's creation. But the focus is on the church. And the people are focused on Christ. We're Orthodox, so it's Christ through His mother. It's Christ enthroned in His mother. It's His mother interceding for Christ. But the Orthodox life is lived in the church. you are an Orthodox because you are part of the church, the body of Christ. Your life is focused on Christ. And I love this. I really do. It's a life of doxology. It's a life of praising God. It's a life of glorifying God. Doxology, glorifying God. And we glorify God in prayer. We glorify God in our actions. We glorify God in our thoughts. Again, ideally. We glorify God in the way we treat others. And that's the Orthodox life. It's a life of doxology. And notice, in these icons, again, we are not alone. It's us. It's the saints. It's the people. Wow. It's the rulers. It's the people in leadership roles in the church. That's kind of a Berkeley thing. It's the angels. It's God. We're all in this together. And so, it's life within the church. Orthodox life is a social existence.